Welcome back. You're listening to Cross the Border. I'm Nicholas, and we are going through the Acts of the Apostles, the author, Luke, continuing his chronicle of a sort from the Gospel according to Luke. We have jumped into Acts, and we're in chapter 2, about verse 22, "Ye men of Israel." And of course, this is Peter speaking, as recorded by Luke here. "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, loosed the pains of death." Now, here we are. It's the 50th day. This is Pentecost. A mere 10 days at being here recorded from, probably not even 10 days if we're going 50 days. If we're at Pentecost, then we would have been the Passover. So they would have seen Yahshua perhaps that week. So he had just ascended up, because he was with them for 40 days. And if this is the 50th day, being Pentecost, well, we know that it hadn't even been 10 days since they've seen him, because he was crucified right after Passover during the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So it says, Peter continues, "By the determinate counsel, foreknowledge of God, you have taken him, by wicked hands have crucified and slain." So all of these things are still very recent in Jerusalem too. "Whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death." So many of the people there, you know, not just the 120 disciples, including or in addition to the apostles, but there are a lot of other people. You have the men, the women, the children, and bystanders, passerbys, whoever would have seen the Messiah on occasion too. So all these people know these things are true. They know that man was crucified. Many of them saw him die with their own eyes. And then they saw the same man, and people are going, yeah, this is that. This is that man that was crucified. He raised from the dead. All the miracles, people, you know, first you have the miracles and signs and wonders, then the guy raises from the dead, and he's hanging out there for 40 days. So this is all very fresh at the time this is going on at Pentecost here, when Peter is standing up here and speaking these words. He says, "Him being delivered by determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God has raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of it." It was not possible that he could be holden. Yes, it was possible for him to die because he was a man, but it was not possible for death to hold him because he had never sinned, and the wages of sin is death. And if you have not sinned, you have not earned death. So how could death keep you? So he was loosed, as it says. He was not holden of it. "For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher is with us unto this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins according to the flesh, he would raise up Messiah, Christ, to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, whereof we all are witnesses. They say, not just I'm a witness, not just these 12 here, not just the 120, but there are thousands of witnesses. And he says, he's explaining to them these things that they have seen with their own eyes to them. This Jesus, this Yahushua hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith himself, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. And so we have our Messiah at the right hand of God, even till this day, at the right hand of the Father, till he makes his enemies his footstool. At the same time, he is building a kingdom that will last forever. At the same time that he's making his enemies his footstool. So until thy foes, I make thy foes thy footstool. Peter continues, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. So he's saying to them, to Israel, that Yahushua whom you crucified is both Messiah, is both Lord and Messiah. He has made him. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Yahushua, the Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall have the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Yeah, the promises to all that he calls. And I like the verse that says, many are called, but few are chosen. And we think about that for a minute. We meditate on that. And what does that mean? Many are called, but few are chosen. Well, even to all. So we get a clue here as to who's called. All. The promise is unto you and your children and to all that are far off. As many as the Lord our God shall call. I think the call goes out. I think everyone hears the call that's able to. So that's the many. And the few that can't understand the call, so let's say you're unborn in the womb, or you're a child without understanding, or perhaps you're incompetent because you're retarded. So those wouldn't be included in the many. But who's going to answer the call? That's the question. Will you answer the call? Have you answered the call? He's calling you to a life of righteousness in his kingdom. He's calling you to seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, that you might obtain that eternal life, that you might obtain that prize. And he's calling you to endure in his kingdom to the end of your mortality, so that when the end of your mortality comes, that you will be in his kingdom and that you will remain in his kingdom forever. Because if you don't endure in his kingdom to the end of your mortality, then you will not be in his kingdom forever. So he's calling. Will you answer the call? That's the question. So the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Save yourself from those that are going to damnation. Save yourself from that fate of not being in his kingdom when your mortality ends and having no hope. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. And there's an old English word. Nobody says untoward anymore. And it says stained or blemished, defective, disgraceful, spotted, stained or blemished. Save yourself from this disgraceful generation. We live in a disgraceful generation. Who could deny it? Even those that are disgraceful won't deny that this is a disgraceful generation. Chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. So there's a distinction there. And some didn't gladly receive his word, but those that did gladly receive his word were baptized. And the same day, there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. So, boom, you know. I mean, they already had thousands there. I mean, of course, you had the apostles, you had the 120 disciples that Yahshua had made there that were part of his ministry. He had a huge ministry in Israel. You know, a lot of people think it's just the Messiah and a ragtag troop of 12 men. But no, he had disciples. He had a ministry. There were people, you know, just like you have ministries today where everyone has a job and a duty and something to do. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had a need. And no, this is not communism, for many people like to go here and communism is force. There is no force here. These people were willingly of their own free will giving and redistributing their wealth as every man had need. And these were different days too, because these were in the days where the time they were preparing not to set down roots in Judea and Jerusalem and about the land, the Holy Land there, the land of Israel. They were not about setting down roots. They were looking forward to the prophecy and they were getting ready to flee. I mean, if you had received a prophecy from the Messiah, and you were sure that it was the Messiah speaking to you, and he was saying to you that the time is coming, and it's very soon, the desolations are determined for Jerusalem. The abomination has taken place, the abomination which maketh desolate, and national Israel, by their national religion and their leaders, are continuing the abomination. And I'm going to come in here and not one stone is going to be left upon another in the city. And everyone and whoever isn't taken captive into all nations is going to be slain by the swords. Sword. Now, what kind of plans would you be making under those kind, with that kind of future in mind? Oh, yes. You wouldn't be putting down roots. You would be plucking up the roots. You wouldn't be buying more property and planting vineyards. You would be selling the properties and selling the vineyards because you know that you're going to have to move when the word comes, when the sign comes. You're waiting for the sign. So this is the time that they're living in. It's not the time we're living in. Perhaps it is, but you know what? I haven't got the word yet. I'm ready. If he comes and the Holy Spirit says to me, I want you to get up. I want you to be ready to move. Well, then I'm going to do it. I'm going to get up. I'm going to be ready to move and I'm going to move wherever he tells me to move. But this is then. So this is not a mandate for communism or force of any matter because nobody is forced. Here he says, everyone, what was it? Let's see. They that gladly received his word were baptized. They didn't pull out their swords and their guns and say, convert or die. You know, that's the gospel according to communism. That's the gospel according, you know, that's the kingdom of heaven for Islam. You know, that's the Catholic, that's the Vatican Inquisition. That's not the Heavenly Father's way. We see that through history. And where we see that in history You know, and all the skeptics, unbelievers, atheists, they like to point to that. But that's not God's way. It says here, they that gladly received his word were baptized. There's no convert or die. There's no inquisition because there is no force in the kingdom of God. It's voluntary. And those were the times they were living in, a time that necessitated not putting down roots and tearing up the roots that you had, the things that attached you to the land. And you know, the Heavenly Father was gracious. He gave the people nearly 40 years to prepare for their departure from national Israel. For his faithful people who would receive his prophecies, the prophecies from his own tongue. So that's the kind of time they were living in, where it was a time to pluck up, a time to distribute, a time to get ready to move, not to plant an inheritance, a permanent inheritance in the land for your children's children. Perhaps it was a time to prepare for an inheritance for your children's children in another land because you were faithful and you believed the prophecies, and that's the days they were in. So this is not a mandate for communism. Communism is antithetical to the kingdom of God because they use force, just like the Inquisition, just like Islam. They force people into their idea of the kingdom of God, but it is not, because the kingdom of God cometh not with observation. So fear came upon every soul, and because many signs and wonders were being done by the apostles. You know, and perhaps we'll have a time too. Perhaps the time is coming in America. Perhaps the time is coming in this century where we'll see signs and miracles and wonders. But it will be a time, not like the time that we've experienced in the past, but it will be a time like we're reading about now in the scripture, where great changes are coming, and people, the faithful, need to understand that the times they're living in are going to be different. A time of turmoil, a time of great change, a time where they have to flee. That's the time that they were living in. That's what you call reading the scripture in context, not only in context of the text, but in context of the time in which it was written. And yes, some of the things that were said then apply to us now, but there are some things that are time specific, and we need to read them in the context of the time, of the era in which they were written. So they sold their possessions, their goods, they parted them to all men as everyone had need, and they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. And so who were the such as who should be saved? Those were the faithful to the Heavenly Father. They were faithful before. The signs confirmed to them that this was right, that this is what they should do. And of course, then the word confirmed that they were doing the right thing by following the Messiah. And so I feel the need here to emphasize at this point the posterity of the obedient versus the posterity, the disobedient. There are many people out there, some Gentiles call themselves Jews that are not, and they change their names and they start wearing Jewish garb and speaking every other word in Hebrew and stuff like that. And so they proclaim to be, because somehow being Jewish, they can be a greater teacher and more people will follow them, and it gives them more authority and authenticity. And that's the word I was looking for, authenticity, to authenticate the works of the Messiah, the miracles and the signs and the wonders, to authenticate the works of the apostles and the disciples of the Messiah in this time that we're reading about now in Acts here, to authenticate who they were and their message, there were signs and wonders. And there may come a time when our words need to be authenticated by signs and wonders and miracles. And I would not doubt that there are instances, not very many, because like I said, I haven't seen any. I've heard about some, and I don't disbelieve some of them, perhaps because the Heavenly Father needed to authenticate the word by whatever prophet he was working through at that time. And the time may come and will, I'm sure it will come in the future. And I'm sure that there are times throughout history, and perhaps even now in certain places on planet Earth, where the Heavenly Father does authenticate a message by miracles and signs and wonders. So that's the point I was trying to get across there, and I hope I got that across clearly to everyone. But there are those who say that the Jews, you know, those people that over in Israel, Sephardic, Ashkenazim, whatever they're called, that they are the chosen people of God. But who are these people that I'm reading about here? Aren't they the chosen people of God? And are we to say that those who didn't believe the Messiah were the chosen people of God? The ones that were killed by the edge of the sword and sold into every nation? Something to think about there. We'll be back in a few minutes.